I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Not enough credit has been given to Kyler Murray.
He could end up being an MVP candidate because he is so difficult to defend. I don't know that we've ever seen somebody like him because of how consistent he can be.
Hour number two. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus. The ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is, of course, the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And on Twitter, at Bart and Hahn as well. So, three undefeated teams lost. 1-1. And we have another one tonight. So you could see if the Raiders are a part of the unbeatens who lose, or the rarity now, or the rarity of staying unbeaten at 4-0, which is all we have now, are the Cardinals. The Cowboys are another team that we can't ignore at this point, Bart Scott, right?
You can't. They're playing very, very well.
What they look like defensively, and although Sam Darnold just seemed to do it all, I mean, he's, like, with McCaffrey out, he's become their offense.
And he hasn't been able
the Carolina Panthers.
He really hasn't been able to find that connection that he had in New York with Robbie Anderson. Like, DJ Moore has been the guy he's going to, but we haven't seen these big explosive plays. Robbie Anderson last year was a guy that went for almost 1,000 yards, went over 1,000 yards, like, last year.
But if they're taking that away, that's what's opening up for Sam to run, which what we're seeing him do more and more now?
Well, I think now what people have been doing is, you know, sometimes, like, listen, they won't admit it, but they see a white quarterback back there, and they don't think that he can take off. Hmm. I think people sleep on Daniel Jones like that, too, until he start pulling away from some of these guys that are arrogant enough that think that just because somebody, you know, looks a certain way, wears khaki pants, don't think that he can give you that smoke.
Why are you looking
right? And I'm talking about, you know,
I resemble that remark.
Sam Darnold, right? Remember, when he was here, he would stand in the pocket and he would look to throw. Now teams are playing man-to-man, cover one. He sees their back turned. He's not even hesitating. Mm-hmm. He's taking off, right? He's more athletic than what people give him credit for, and I think he's making people pay, because you can't just take for granted that he's not going to keep it on the RPO. You can't take for granted that if you can play certain coverages. You can't play the same coverage on him that you're going to play on Matt Ryan. Like, so, it's disrespectful to Sam.
So let's go overreaction Monday.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are not only going to win the division, they're going to win a playoff game.
That's tough, right? Because, listen, like, everybody wants to talk about, you know, the Cardinals. And listen, the Cardinals did you know, a tremendous job. They had lost 8 in a row to the Rams, right? And they were done with it. They were tired of it, right? And they came out with a tremendous game plan. And they figured out how to get to the Rams. But if the Cardinals win that division, if the Rams win that division, well, guess who's going to go to the wild card? And guess who's going to be playing, you know, the lower seeded divisional winners? It's going to be one of those guys. And I can't say for a fact that if the Cardinals go against Dallas that they're going to win. I can't say for a fact that if Dallas goes against the Rams that they're going to win it. Right? So with that being said, this thing is wide open. We've never seen parity like this in the game. But we have parity. We have teams that are capable any given Sunday, really, literally, any given Sunday, and embarrassing the team or winning a game. Right? You know, you think about the Rams. They're going to make adjustments, right? You think about Tom Brady. You don't think he's going to make adjustments? Gronk's going to come back. Those cornerbacks and DBs are going to come back. Everybody's, you know, trying to figure out their style of winning and learn how to execute and being able to like, out-scheme. Like, this is a team in the division. I can remember being embarrassed by the Patriots one game. Then we went out and beat them. So, guess what? We didn't beat them just once that year. We beat them twice. But that goes underreported that we had beat them before.
Right.
So it's about who coaching staff can make the adjustments and put a game plan that forces the other team to do what they don't do well and put them on their heels.
Interesting you say that, because coaching staff is certainly – Mike McCarthy has been under fire going into this week. You know,
He ain't doing nothing, though. This is all Kellen Moore.
No, I'm saying, like, that's no longer a story. It's like, wow, how good can the Cowboys be? And it's almost like in spite of Mike McCarthy making some decisions, especially his clock management, which could come on – come under fire. If you get to the playoffs, where game's going to be a lot closer. But this game, as you saw again, that offense was on display against a good Panthers defense.
A different
now,
way, though. Now, this was tight. This was tight for a while.
It started to become a blowout, and then Sam pushed back.
Third quarter, but it was two for nil, right?
First half, for sure. But what we saw was something you've been calling for, which is Zeke Elliott. Is it now you're working him into this offense, and now seeing him as the guy we remember him being just makes this offense more difficult. And Zeke talked about how, you know, we're not just going to be good. We can dominate.
What's this offense capable of? You talked about being the number one offense in football this year. You think you're headed in that direction?
I think we definitely are. I think this offense is capable of anything. We're so versatile. We have so many playmakers. We're so deep at every position. So it's like you got to pick your poison.
You feel like you guys are playing the best football you've played since 2016 when you and Dak were rookies?
I think we're playing good football right now. I think we're winning football games, but I want to see us go out there and finish. I want to see us go out there and really blow somebody out. I think in the past couple of weeks we were in a situation where, you know, it could have either, you know, we could kind of let off the gas pedal and still be win comfortably, or we can just go ahead and choke them out. So, I mean, I want to see us go out there and choke guys out.
All right, a lot of confidence in Dallas right now and where they are with that offense. On the converse, another classic franchise, Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, we kind of said this last week, an overreaction. I think now it's just a reaction. It really does look like this could be the year Mike Tomlin suffers his first losing season. It really does look like it because they don't have the quarterback they used to anymore. Ben Roethlisberger is the same person, but he's not the same guy.
Right.
And they're not the same player. And then their offensive line is just not good. And you have the injuries, Claypool. You have some injuries that you have to worry about. They are just not as good maybe as you projected them to be, especially in that division. But also just looking at the AFC in general, this doesn't look like a team that's going to win enough games to maintain Tomlin's record of never having a losing season. And Ben Roethlisberger is the first guy to talk about it, how this whole franchise really has to look in the mirror.
You know, we've had some down years. I don't know that it's probably never started like this, like you said. What a challenge for us. We need to look, in the mirror and figure out what path we want to take. I think it potentially can be easy to quit in a situation like this, and I don't think that we have that in this locker room.
Now, that's one thing a Tomlin team never does, as we know. They don't do that. Interesting challenge coming up. Broncos coming off a loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Bridgewater looks.
Well, if there's lock, then they yes. caught a break. They've caught a break.
Great point. That's true.
And it's not about who you play.
They got Seattle, the Browns. And then the Bears and Lions, so, you know, maybe that they
say they went 3 out of 5. That should be the goal. 3 out of 5 being striking distance when TJ Watt gets back, when Claypool. That's what it is about sometimes. It's sometimes about just holding on to that rope and not letting go. And you can't have young guys lose focus. You just got to hold on to that rope. Say, listen, we're right there. I mean, with Mason Rudolph, with Ben Roethlisberger hurt, they still found a way to be in the mix, right? So, like, at this point, like, Ben Roethlisberger can't carry a team anymore. They got to carry him. Much like Peyton Manning got carried all the way to the Super Bowl with that Denver defense, they have to figure some things out. They have to get creative. I mean, they may have to go back to being able to have, like, the passing game as a – you know, I think Ben – they stood up and applauded Ben's and late in the third quarter.
You got a first
second,
down?
No, second pass over 10 yards in air yards.
Yeah.
It was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's disrespectful. That's a Hall of Fame.
Well, it's the Bronx cheer thing. Now, on the other side, did you see, by the way, in this game, there was a moment where Aaron Rodgers tried to pull some trickery, and he tried to catch them with 12 guys on the field, and Tomlin quickly called the timeout to avoid that. And Rodgers kind of smiling, and he glances over to the sideline and gives Tomlin a wink, and Tomlin kind of gives him that nod.
Like, yeah, I got you. I see.
Yeah. It's just like,
I don't know us, player.
A lot of that, right, a lot of that
game. What's that thing that Trae Young does? That he tried to do to, like, players, and Reeves was like, man, you tried on me, I'm a clothesline, you know. What is it, nutmeg? He tried to nutmeg him.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers tried to nutmeg Tomlin. He's like, nah, pimp.
I saw that coming. Yeah, exactly. This is, who you think you're dealing with. I'm no amateur around here. But the that moment, though, also with Rodgers and the smile on his face and him trying to pull some stuff, the Packers look a lot different as a franchise, and Rodgers seems to be really like enjoying this now. He looked miserable in week one.
Yeah.
Right? He had an off season where we thought this guy's so moody, but overreaction Monday on the Packers, they're legit back after week one.
Yeah, but
and they are, to me, again, they become another team that you have to put in the conversation as a favorite in the NFC. That's my overreaction.
I put them in the second tier. I just don't think they're as good as the Cardinals.
With him playing the way he's playing?
I know, I get that.
And he's happy?
No, I get that. But I still have question marks about this defense, and it's playing a lot better. But I think it's playing a lot better because Aaron Rodgers is providing what he's always done. He's provided them a lead.
And confidence, though, when you have him.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
You just believe you can win. When he's playing at the level he's playing, it lifts everyone up. And Rodgers.
Tell me this, who's playing better? Kyler Murray.
All right, I know, but who do you trust? What do you trust more?
That's a brand
name.
My
eyes trust Aaron Rodgers because there's history there. Kyler Murray, yeah, there is trust there, but I got a stat for you that'll explain something about what they are doing right now. But first, here's Aaron Rodgers on how they've looked, how the team feels since week one.
We faced adversity right away. We made proper adjustments. We didn't freak out. We focused on the little things and the details. And I think we just, after that win at Detroit, kind of took a collective deep breath. That was an important game for us. Obviously, it's a division game, but more for a confidence standpoint. Last week was huge, confidence-wise, beating a really good team on the road that had smoked us a couple times in 19. This, we can't underestimate this win either. Really good football team, 1-2, a little bit of desperation. I know it's early, but, you know, wanting to not go 1-3, we knew it was going to be a tough challenge. Great front, well-coached, Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side. So this is a big win for us to get to 3-1, and now we got a 3-1 team on the road.
And again, like I said, the way he's talking, he just sounds like he's back all in. That was the question after week one. Is he all in? Does he look like somebody that's all in? Because he didn't talk like one either. But since then, something has clicked again for him, and he's the guy we remember from last year. Now on the Cardinals, they are 4-0 with that big win over the Rams, right? And that was an interesting game. That probably was, although Brady Belichick was the marquee,
that was the game.
I got to see how this goes, right? Because it's two MVP candidate quarterbacks, two teams that look like they both are obviously undefeated. So the Cardinals get the win, and they kind of won pretty easily.
Yeah.
Now, here's the good news. It's the second time in the last 40 years that the Cardinals have been 4-0. The last time they did it was 2012. You know what their record was that season?
Was it Matt Leinart?
It was 5-11.
Yeah, that's what they would do. Matt Leinart.
So there's still a lot to prove
when it
comes to this group. And I know, obviously, Kingsbury wasn't there and Kyler Murray wasn't there and all those guys weren't there. I get it, it's the fact that I trust the history of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I don't know yet if I trust what I'm seeing in Kyler Murray, but it has been fun.
I mean, listen, when I look at it, I look at it like this. The same way that Aaron Rodgers exercised some demons when he beat San Francisco, like you said, in 2019, as a team that beat up on us pretty good. I mean, the Rams had beaten the Cardinals 8 straight times, right? So that means they had beat them, but they hadn't lost to them in 4 years.
Yeah.
So for them to kind of get over that hump and say, okay, this is a team that we know is a Super Bowl contender, and we just handedly beat them.
Yep.
So maybe we can start believing and have those real aspirations. Really what that's for is for the young players. It's for the Zaven Collins. It's for the Isaiah Simmons.
I think Murray needs to see this too.
Exactly, because he was an MVP candidate last year, remember? And then he got hurt. Because what happens is he runs around like that, and eventually somebody going to catch him or somebody going to make him hurt his shoulder or get to a shoulder, you know, take
him
to the ground.
Well, if there was a defense to do it, wouldn't it have been this one?
I don't know. Because I think this defense runs out of people, right? Ooh, because when you think about it, right, they have Jalen Ramsey, they have Darnold. They don't really have elite linebackers. They have two elite pass rushers. I think they really miss Brocker that went to the Lions. He was kind of like that Derek Wolfe. He was that other guy opposite on the other side that created that balance away from Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. So now teams are just trying to find ways to double Aaron Donald and say, hey, we'll go one-on-one with the rest of the guys. So I think when you think about it, you know, like, how are they going to match up with a team that has multiple DBs, right? You know, because you have to have multiple DBs because you can just only have one. Okay, you Hopkins cancels out by Ramsey. Okay. What about A.J. Green?
Yeah, exactly.
What about Rondale Moore?
That's the beauty of having the extra
weapons. You need a team like the Ravens, right, that can put out Jimmy Smith, that when they're healthy, they can put up Marcus Peters and then Marlon Humphreys. You need multiple lockdown corners in this league because at the end of the day, you're putting your fourth best guy against Rondale Moore or your fourth best guy against A.J. Green or against Christian Kirk. So, like, but, you know, they got to continue to run the football, which they did. And, you know, at some point, you know, Murray's going to have to win games from the pocket exclusively because teams are just going to say, you know what, don't rush upfield at all. set the edge, and make him continually, consistently throw the ball out of the pocket. And we're going to stir the pocket.
Sit in the pocket and get hands up.
Hands
because
up,
obviously
he's
his
short.
Size, right, seeing over. Before we get to the calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a lot of people that want to give their overreaction. I'm going to get to you in a moment. But just because there's two other things, and I want to get your overreaction if you have them too. Number one, Browns win, but it's not pretty.
Right.
And then also what your Ravens did. Message sent?
Well, yeah. You saying message sent as far as like, you know.
To the league. Because we don't, you know, again, they've had injuries, they've had issues.
I told you Brown had a terrible game,
and then he comes back and makes an unbelievable.
I told you.
The
this.
Throw by Lamar was, to me,
insane. Will you stop
insane.
Hating on? Was that a stop hating on me type of thing? Because
or
he's
is
leading,
that
the,
a,
he's leading
can,
the league. Yeah, yes. he's but he's leading the league in rushing yards per attempt and also passing yards per attempt. He's leading. So like that's but that's a crazy thing. That's a crazy thing about the narratives that we have about certain people, and it's so hard for them to alleviate it. And you see what he's been throwing to. He doesn't throw to the receiving core that Mahomes has. He doesn't throw to the receiving core that that Matthew Stafford has. He doesn't throw to Aaron Murray.
He doesn't even have the receiving core that Baker Mayfield has.
Right. I mean, he doesn't have the ones that Joe Burrow has. What are we talking about?
He has the worst weapons to throw to within a division.
Because you think about Chase Claypool. You think about Johnson. You think about what Ben Roethlisberger throws to. But guess what? Reinforcements are coming because Bateman's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a beast. And when he gets
he's
back
still a
there.
A few weeks away, isn't he?
Yeah, but when he gets – they'll hold the fort till he gets there. But when he gets there. Man, that's going to change that offense because now when you try and say, okay, we're going to go with these heavy guys and all these safeties, they come out with these. See, Baltimore changes personnel faster than anybody, right? They have five or six different – they bring in five different people like yo. They just brought in two fullbacks, three tight ends.
Yeah.
Then the next play, they got three wides, and all their receivers are so used to blocking, they get all the practice in. They got like five Keyshawns out there. You think about Boykins, you think about Sammy Watkins, these six-foot guys that said, well, you know what, I better be a great blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kudos to Hollywood Brown. Let's see if when those guys come back, if that pushes him in the slot. Which now you can't get your hands on him. So now he can become their DeSean Jackson
because so
you have 2 6-foot receivers on the outside plus Andrews. And then now you got to figure out how to stop this running game.
And now, again, and there's more on that game, by the way, with the Broncos at the end of it, something that happened with John Harbaugh that we will get to, of course, coming up in a few. But we want to get some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Oh, we have Tessa in New Jersey, Bart Scott.
Ah, this is a good day for Tessa.
Tessa, how are you? You got to be feeling good. You must have a voice today.
Oh. And the Yankees won.
No, my voice a little cracky, but that's from yelling and happiness. And listen, guys, when Daniel Jones threw that ball over the top to John Ross, it's like the heavens opened up for me because I was like, oh, it's possible.
Yes.
It's possible for big plays like that. And then when he fumbled the ball, lost his shoe, plus got the ball, I was like, yeah, we win in this game. But I just wanted to start out with this really quick. I don't understand why everybody never put the asterisk under Tom Brady. The way y'all was talking about him and Belichick, we know they're a great duo. But all the cheating scandals that come with them, I don't understand why you guys and everybody else in the media never mentions that. Let one baseball player have one scandal and not even proving that they took steroids, they're done. They barely get into the Hall of Fame. They're blackballed.
Tess,
how do we feel
about the Astros and their championship?
For some reason, everybody jumps on the Brady and Belichick. Like they had, even Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football the other week was playing around talking about something. He thought the locker room was bugged. He wouldn't talk about no plays in the locker room.
Guess,
you know what I mean? Like, why do y'all do that? Like, I don't like that. Like, nobody's ever put nothing.
Tessa, guess what? Guess
still
what, Tessa?
Championship.
Whenever
we beat him twice. I'm not salty. We beat him twice. I don't give a damn.
But we beat him twice. The thing is, he's won five more without the scandal. So it's like, it's tough to take it away from him. You better knock it off, Bart.
But you better knock it off because during that season when he won that Super Bowl, they got caught cheating again, taping the Jets. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they winning, they cheating. Even when they beat Atlanta, the deflated ball. Are you kidding me?
But you know what? You know what's crazy, Tessa? Like, in football, like, steroids isn't frowned upon like that. Like, people get PEDs. Nobody even blacks.
Baseball is a little different. Example, Tessa, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much. It's What happens, and I don't disagree with her, we do tend to glaze over that stuff.
That's because the NFL got rid of the tapes. We never got to see them.
But I think that's what it is. What are we supposed to do? They won. Like, what are you supposed to say to that? They won.
They won six.
Did they push rules? Did they bend rules? Did they do all that stuff? Yeah, I guess they did. It's all been reported. But just like the Astros, they won a World Series. We went crazy about it. I mean, I'm still salty about his Yankees fan, but whatever. That World Series is still theirs. It has been vacated. It's still their title. By the way, since then, after getting caught, what do they do but keep winning?
What am I
supposed to say now?
That's what I'm saying. So he put two Astros on him. He's still got five. That still makes him greater than everybody else.
That's the point I'm trying to make. We have to acknowledge it. But it's not something that you're going to just use constantly.
And hold up, right? Peyton Manning talking about he thought the locker room was bugged. Well, guess what? Whenever we played against Peyton Manning, we had to have wristbands on because they would send scouts to our games weeks before we play them to steal our signals. So let's not pull back the curtain on you too, Peyton Manning and the Colts.
Oh, that's all right. So we'll keep the calls rolling. We promise. We'll keep them going. So you stay there with us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But coming up, of course, we've got to tell you about not only something that happened at the end of the Ravens-Broncos game that really is interesting, but also, why does Matt Nagy suddenly sound like a coach who is extremely insecure in what his role actually is on this team? Wait till you hear what he had to say after what was supposed to be a really good day for the Chicago Bears. That's coming up after Bart tells you about ZipRecruiter.
According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet up the pent-up demand for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive website, ZipRecruiter.com/BART. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this, your calls as we continue in audio files.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
You can't just talk over Melly Mel like that, man. You got to let that breathe.
I understand that, but...
This was so sampled.
I
got to keep on moving. Broken glass everywhere, man. Just don't care. This is when you can be a thug with frizzes on your arms, with skin tight. I can't say that knuckles no more.
Yeah,
and cowboy boots. And this dude was from New York. You know how tough you got to be not to get beat up walking around like that? And not Melly Mel about two fifty now. You see Melly Mel now?
Not to lose.
What's exciting about
the
this?
Clock?
Okay,
I am trying not. You understand?
I always grab the steering wheel. I apologize. Take it back.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under, Bart Scott. You understand now where I'm trying to go? You know me and the music. But sometimes I look at the clock and I think we got a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it.
That is true.
So let's get to it. And you know what? Since I said that, what time is it?
Audio files.
Let's begin with what we were just teasing a moment ago. And that, of course, is so the Bears get a win. And they also see their rookie quarterback, Justin Fields, play really well. Now, one thing that Matt Nagy did admit after the game, but it was not him handling the play calls, which was a topic of discussion going into the week, right? Who will be calling the plays? Who will be calling the plays? It was not him. Okay, fine. But listen how he explains how the whole process works and why his presence, in case you were wondering, as a head coach, is still valuable.
In regards to the play calling, Bill did a great job, you know, and I think that, you know, at the same point in time, it's important that we understand that I had to be, I felt good out there as a head coach, and that's real. We all get together, we talk through how we're going to call the game. I get a great opportunity to say, yes, I like this, or no, I don't, as the head coach, right, in charge of all that. That's real. Whatever I need to do to try to be the best head coach for the Chicago Bears, whatever that is, I don't care. I just want us to have the best opportunity to win.
Bill Lazor, by the way, is the offensive coordinator who is the one making the play calls.
Yeah.
What did you hear? What's your BS translator on that?
Listen, man, I can't get a good read on this, man. Like, you got to be asinine to say, okay, we're going to go back to Andy Dalton when he's healthy. He's QB1. I mean, at this point, listen, I always said that this was the soft landing for the kid. I know he has some more tough games, but at this point, you're kind of at the point of no return now. Like, he's got to win. He's played well. Let's build off of that, and let's figure out the future stars now. Because guess what? It looked like you ain't going nowhere within this division, and you damn sure ain't going nowhere as far as getting to the postseason, so you better sell hope.
Did you also see, okay, this works. Doing this works. This
great defense.
Gets the most. Well, it's not even the defense. It's how they played offense, how they were able to protect him a little more. And let him use his skill set, which is he can throw the football, but he also can run. And that's what it seemed like. They look different. But for him, it was just clearly somebody that you could just tell. Like, I've said this how many times out this week, I wish I could give this guy advice on media. Because whoever's giving him advice is not giving him good advice.
That's who they need to fire. We've been calling for their heads.
Listen, Matt, just give credit to everyone and move on. We all know you're the final decision maker. You don't need to tell everybody. Like, that is the – really? Like, that's – it's incredible that he was making sure he was getting credit for the decisions that were made by his coordinator. Yeah, we know. You're the head coach. You know what the best decision was? You decided not to be the play caller.
Right.
It starts with you, yes.
Remember last week he said he was still the play caller. Now he's like – remember Adam Gase said he was the play caller?
Oh, it was Adam.
And then he called himself into it.
Listen, that's a great example. Adam Gase – that should be.
Like, there's your cautionary down, but tale. Is it third down part of that? Like,
Matt, that's your cautionary tale. Just you're out of the Adam Gase playbook from last season, and that is what's going to get you fired. That, anyways, let's move on from that. It just when I heard that, I just had that same reaction of are you trying to explain your role on the team? Like, as if we don't know how important you are. You're the head coach.
But how
the
football
CEO.
Is done.
Anyways, let's move on. We didn't get to talk much about the Kansas City Chiefs, but
how about those Chiefs?
Well, there's a team that's, again, as we saw their start to the season, and we were just wondering, maybe are they starting to show a little bit of wear and tear? But how about Tyreek Hill going for 186 yards on 11 catches?
How do you not double him? You got big play slate.
12 targets, 3 touchdowns. And so I love this post game, what Hill says about himself. And, of course, a certain animal that is back.
You know what? First off, I just want to say shout out to all my fantasy owners out there, man. You know, I know it's been a tough couple of weeks for myself. Yeah. But you know what? I've been on a hiatus on social media. You know, I've been getting my mind right, trying to get myself back together. And this week, it proves for me that I'm back, man. The cheetah is back. So shout out to my quarterback. Shout out to my offensive line, the whole team, man, just believing in me. You know, and we came out with the dub today, and I was able to ball. So I'm very thankful for that.
The cheetah is back.
It's hyena.
Really? You're going to be the one to criticize? But he says the cheetah's back, and he shouts out the fantasy owners, very much aware of his status in the game.
See, but this is the thing, though. Like, he went for 186, but yeah. Kelce went for 23, and everybody else didn't go for that much. So, I mean, what's going to happen? Like, they really need Josh Gordon. I think that was a desperation signing. Because they need somebody opposite of Tyreek Hill, right, to balance it out. Because you can take away two guys that are receivers, right? You can bracket the tight end and double the receiver and man up the backside receiver. But who knows what Flash Gordon has? Like, listen, this was the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, let's see when you do that, when you have to go against, you know, teams that can put off offensive points. And listen, that defense still gave up 30 to Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Gave up a 30 burger, man. So, I mean, I'm still concerned. And once again, you look at – look, Jalen Hurts threw for 387. Like, it's still issues in Kansas City.
Eagles fans are excited about that part, but obviously not excited about another L. But, you know.
And they can't run the ball.
Yeah. As we hear from Eagles fans. All right. Last but not least, as we continue with Audio Files, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. So, at the end of the Ravens-Broncos game, this was interesting. And you talked about this with Rex Ryan on Organized Chaos, your podcast that's out every week about the week. Rather than take a knee, you know, victory formation, as the Ravens pretty much had the game in hand, Lamar Jackson took one last rushing attempt. And in doing so, it was what, they get 4 yards? And it got him to 100 yards on the day.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that gave them 43 straight 100-yard rushing games, which ties with the Pittsburgh Steelers from the 70s for the longest streak in NFL history. So this is interesting from the Stats Information Group. There's not been a single instance of a team leading by 10 or more points in the final 5 seconds where the team gained yards on the play in the last 25 seasons. So they go for it with obvious intentions of making sure they maintain what now has tied an NFL record. And John Harbaugh said, that's all on me, and I have no reason to apologize for it. And Lamar Jackson also discusses it as well.
You know, that's one of those things that's meaningful, you know, and it's one of those things that's, I think as a head coach, you got to be mindful of your team and your players and your coaches and what it means to them. It's a very, very tough record to accomplish, and it's a long-term record.
I don't know what he was thinking. I'm like, we're going to take a knee right here? They're like, nah, we're going to go for it. I'm like, so he pretty much got the game still. You know, Double A caught that pick in the back of the end zone. Congratulations to him, but I don't know what coach was thinking.
You appreciate it, though? You wanted to get the record?
I'm happy we got the dub. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really care about the record. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about winning the game.
All right, so you have purple and black in your blood.
You,
all right, you are
deep,
a Raven.
Deep.
I understand that. So Harbaugh's decision doing this, though, obviously could piss off some people in the league.
I think Vic Fangio made a statement, but I don't care. Like, what are we talking about?
Lamar said, I don't care. I just want the win. I could care less about this record. But for
Harbaugh.
Yeah,
that's Lamar. But
this
listen,
is a record that means something to him.
Listen, this is a team record. This is trying to live. Like, when you talk about being immortal, like, it's a couple of ways to be immortal. Win a championship. Harbaugh has done that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when it's records, we talk about that brings people back to life, right? That's not like, listen, Lamar Jackson will probably be in the Hall of Fame, but the people and the running backs, everybody that contributed to keeping that streak going, the Gus Edwards, the Mark Ingrams, this keeps them alive, right? So this is immortalizing them and putting his organization and their teams into, like, the record books. That means something. And if it only is a measly 4 yards, like, come on, man. Like, Vic Fangio, stop it. You've been in that organization. You know what it's all about.
Yep.
And if you got beef, then guess what? Like, if that's enough beef for us to have beef as far as, you know, being, you know, colleagues and peers, being that we know each other and we're friends with each other, and if that's enough beef, then whatever. Bring on the beef then. Because, no, but guess what? My organization, my team's always going to be better than yours. So bring the smoke in. If you want that to break up the band, then let that break up the band, damn it. I'm going solo.
Does it on the final play, though.
I don't care what it is.
Formation.
Oh, okay. Well, did Brett Favre apologize to Mark Gastineau or whoever had the sack record before he laid the egg and laid down for Strahan? No.
It's a lot different.
How is it different? A record's a record.
Yeah, but this is.
And that one was even more sacred than that one. This is a little bitty record. 4 yards.
If it was little bitty, then why would he want to go for it?
Because all the things I just said, Alan. Yeah.
Listen, now, I'm just pushing back.
It's like blitzing, or going for a Hail Mary because you got a touchdown record, like at the last thing to immortalize yourself the last game of the season or something like that.
Like I said, I'm pushing back on you. I have no problem with stuff like this. I think.
Let's be petty then.
Yeah, I think it's silly that we have this thing about, well, that goes against what we normally do here. Well, you know, sorry, there's a record to be had. I can get some yards here. I'm going to get them.
Exactly.
And if you don't like it, stop me.
Exactly.
Nobody says I have to go into victory formation. That's not a rule. It's not in the rule books that I have to take the knee. I don't have to. But right now I had something to get. I got it.
And Lamar, Harbaugh's take plenty of bullets for you. Say, hell yeah, I wanted to get it.
Say, yo,
yeah, I wanted to get it.
I
bad coach. No, don't be. You can't be honest all the time.
Nah,
say, coach, I really wanted it. This is something for our guys. I'm a part of this because I'm one of the best running quarterbacks in history. And I was like, coach, let me get these
Listen
4 yards.
Your,
Do that, bro.
You are such a Ravens. I love it. You're such a Ravens still at heart.
You got to protect your people, man.
All right, that's Audio Files brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. We got a good one tonight on Monday Night Football, Bart Scott. As I mentioned, the Raiders trying to stay perfect as well. Can they join the Cardinals as the NFL's only other 4-0 team? We will discuss coming up, of course, with your calls as well. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN+.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn, ESPN+. Bart Scott, so as we've been talking so much about football and what a great week for Sunday again it was that I mentioned, we talked about it previously, how just compelling these endings have been. But you had on Sunday for Major League Baseball, talk about compelling, the finish to the season, game 162s all over the place, and mm-hmm. so many of them meant something. The Giants had to win to clinch their division. The Dodgers then could get the wild card. The Yankees having to win and how they did it in dramatic fashion, walk off in the ninth. Boston had to win. The Red Sox to get into wild card. They had to come back from a 5-1 deficit. They had to get the win. Devers with the home run changes everything. They get into the wild card. That all gets set up. And was anybody watching? That's the question. Around the country, we're locked into the NFL. The NFL's too compelling to turn away from, a man. But, I mean, that's the. I wonder this. I know a couple of years ago baseball tried to end the season like on a Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. That, of course, didn't work out either. They don't want the playoffs to go up against football, so they want to start like on a Tuesday. You'll get the first AL wild card on Tuesday, ESPN. But how about finish on Saturday? Like, to have to make decisions. Hey, man, no, is anybody turning away from football?
Yo, we're in the meat of it. We're in the meat of it, man. Cincinnati had a big game against Notre Dame. You know the Notre Dame fans are loyal and crazy, right? It's certain. Listen, you had Alabama. You know Alabama was going to be getting watched no matter what was going on in baseball. Listen, this is the the hardest part and the hardest thing is having self-awareness and understanding that you have a problem. And the problem is that baseball once was America's pastime. Now it's the third on the rise. Listen, MMA is sneaking up there.
Well, don't – come on.
No, I'm being serious.
It might be growing, but baseball is behind – baseball's at the same – to me, it's NBA baseball, football is so far ahead.
You know how we talk about parachuting in? People parachute in. The masses parachute in to watch baseball. And it's only when things get compelling, when something's happened or something –
what's
good
more compelling than the fact that the Yankees had to win and it was 0-0?
You know what people were telling me or people were saying? Just tell me when it's all figured out who's playing who, and then maybe I'll pay attention. And that's a tough pill to swallow. They can't do anything about it because they can't move their schedule around. You have to understand, they can't go on Thursday because what? I don't care if we're talking Bengals, Jags, they're going to get eaten up by football.
On Thursday night?
Yes.
Yeah.
They can't go Monday night. Well, they can't go Monday night. They'll get eaten up.
This Thursday is when the ALDS will begin. And they'll go up against baseball on football on a Thursday night. But
and
this
who
is Sunday.
Is it?
Sunday, it's like Red Zone Sunday. It's like everybody's playing. There's always something to watch. And you also had a lot of compelling baseball games, and that to me works against them. Now, in New York, it didn't work against them because both, and this is a rarity, both New York teams played at 1:00.
Yes.
Now the Yankees did start early, but
what else
the
happened
biggest
since
part,
2009?
Well, the biggest part of the game, the biggest part of the game for the Yankees. The Giants and Jets were done.
Yeah.
So everyone in New York, at least regionally, for the YES Network, could just now flip over and go watch that game. And you saw the ending, the compelling ending. So that worked for them in the biggest market. But it just goes back to, should they reconsider it? Should they say, we cannot go up against the football when we have
basketball,
the compelling innings we have?
Basketball can't go against the combine. Like, dude, football.
Come on, man. Hold on.
Last year was the draft, and like basketball, I was like, I'm watching the draft. Who get more numbers? LeBron versus, I don't care who it goes against watching dudes that you pay attention to for a whole hour in between picks, and you watching it. Just the NFL
It's become so big, you have to consider how you work your schedule around the NFL. And to have a day like baseball had yesterday and to be so overshadowed by football, it's kind of sad. It really is, because it was a fun ending to the season,
but
at least we have some wild card games coming up in the next couple of days to enjoy, and there's no football on Tuesday and Wednesday, at least we know. Coming up with more next.
Oh, they just flexed the game.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.